TalkZone.com.
Welcome to the Travelin' On Radio Show, your premier source for travel news and information, featuring your hosts, Tanya and Ian Fitzpatrick. Now, the Travelin' On Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
And hello, everybody, and indeed it's a wonderful day to travel. It's a great day to listen to the Travelin' On Radio Show. We're your hosts, Tanya and Ian Fitzpatrick, and we're broadcasting from our studios right outside our nation's capital in Washington, the Washington, D.C. metro area. And certainly happy to be here with you again, and we have a great, great show.
Absolutely. First off, Bob Davis, the CEO of the Mountain Institute, will join us to talk about the work his organization is doing to preserve our precious mountains and their indigenous residents. And from there, aviation attorney Patrick Bailey will discuss some things you should know about on-demand aircraft. If you're planning on taking an aerial tour or chartering a private plane, this is a segment you definitely must tune into. And lastly, have you ever considered staying at a convent or monastery on vacation? Our Author's Corner will feature author Trish Clark and her unique travel book, Good Night and God Bless, A Guide to Convent and Monastery Accommodations in Europe. That should be pretty interesting.
Oh, I'd love to stay at a monastery, actually.
Yeah. And so if you've got any questions or comments at this time, you can email us at comments@travelinradio.com. That's comments at travel, the letter N, radio.com.
And, of course, when you're at our website, travelnradio.com, sign up for our social networks. We'd love to join you as friends on Facebook and Twitter, and also share our weekly travel deals and our newsletter, which is forthcoming in the very near future. But as Ian mentioned, you know, the Mountain Institute is the only national, international nonprofit organization devoted solely to the protection of mountain and mountain people. And because of the mountain's exposure, the elevation, and fragile ecosystems, mountain regions are first to manifest the symptoms of climate change. And here to tell us more about the work that the Mountain Institute is doing and talk about the, I don't want to say plight, might be a strong word, but some of the concerns, preservation concerns for the mountains and its inhabitants is Bob Davis, CEO of the Mountain Institute. Bob, welcome back to Travelin' On.
Thank you, Tanya. How are you and Ian doing today?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Beautiful day in Washington, isn't it?
It is. Sun's out, and we're going to enjoy this for as long as it lasts.
I bet. Great.
And if we are on a mountaintop, Bob, I would think it would be even more gorgeous. And
come on out to West Virginia at any time and see us out there. You'd be more than welcome.
All right, we're on. Now, we had you on our show a little bit about a year ago, really. I want, for our listening audience sake, just to ask you to recap a little bit about what your mission is, because, you know, the Mountain Institute is also focused on environmental and cultural preservations as well as economic development for the mountain communities. Can you talk a little bit about your mission?
Sure. That's absolutely right. In fact, you know the mission pretty well, I'd say. You're right. We focus on conserving mountain environments because we know these are some of the most unique environments globally, really. They're also some of the most fragile, which is what you've pointed out as well, just because of the exposure of mountains, of the steep slopes, and of the difficult weather conditions, ice and snow in mountain areas. They tend to be very fragile ecosystems, which, you know, most people don't realize. When you see a mountain out there, it looks like a, you know, pretty big, strong, imposing environment.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, these are really some of the most fragile ecosystems we have on the planet. And so a large part of our work is working with local communities to conserve mountain areas. In many cases, they're wetlands areas. They might be forest areas or even pasture areas as well. So that's a significant and important part of our mission. But we also focus on economic development in mountain areas and with mountain communities, because these are some of the poorest communities that we find globally. We're almost wherever you find mountains in the world, you find, you know, communities that are really struggling in some way or other, in large part because they're having to, you know, carve out a living in these really difficult environments. And then the final part of the mission is really around the unique cultures that we find in those communities, whether, you know, it's the Appalachian culture that we have here in the States or the Sherpa culture that you find around Mount Everest or the Tibetan culture on the northern slopes of Everest or the Quechua culture in South America. And in fact, those cultures in many places are being threatened as well, as, you know, we see the impact of globalization.
Right.
You know, we find a lot of the loss of some of the indigenous languages and some of the really unique aspects of those cultures. So
now, do you attribute some of that, to maybe over tourism, too much tourism, or because there is a correlation between, or one of your challenges, rather is preserving the cultures, ensuring some of the communities are developing and sustainable without you know, too much tourism or yeah. You know, without incurring a negative impact that overpopulated tourist areas bring. And because the mountains are, you know, there's special attractions to people. They're recreational. They're,
right.
You know, some places are, you know, a refuge, you know, a spiritual retreat. Can you talk about that balance a little bit that you're challenged with?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, tourism can be a two-edged sword in mountain areas in particular, because these, you know, they're not only fragile ecosystems, but, you know, in many ways they're fragile cultures. And they can't necessarily absorb, you know, large groups of people over large periods of time without having, you know, the downside of that impact. But so our work has been to go in, to work with communities in many cases in advance of really developing tourism, to find out what the communities are interested in. You know, almost all these communities are interested in tourism. They're all looking for, you know, new revenue streams, new ways of, you know, providing a reasonable income in these areas. But, you know, don't necessarily want to be overwhelmed by tourists. We find a number of the communities that we work with in the Andes, they all, you know, are interested in tourism in theory, but when you really come right down to it, they're interested in a special kind of tourism. They've sort of branded it and called it solidarity tourism there, which is, you know, developing a special relationship with the tourists, working with smaller groups, getting tourists involved in homestays, in some cases, getting tourists involved in local projects with the community, either through voluntary labor or through providing small donations. So, you know, and, you know, even in my home out in West Virginia, you know, we're interested in you know, tourists that will come and stay in the bed and breakfast who will really make an impact on the local economy without, you know, having a negative impact on, you know, our resources and, you know, our fragile mountains and our limited infrastructure there. So we find that almost everywhere we go in mountain areas, there's an interest in tourism. And really, tourism is one of the things that can sort of bring together all aspects of our mission, the conservation piece through things like ecotourism, the obvious economic development part, and also, you know, supporting mountain cultures through, you know, cultural heritage tourism. But it has to be done very carefully. It has to, you really, the first step is working with the communities to find out what they want to do, what they're capable of doing, you know, what their abilities are and what the gaps are in their own background, you know, where they might need some additional training, so that they're getting the kind of tourism that is sustainable for them as a community.
We are speaking with Bob Davis, the CEO of the Mountain Institute, and we're talking to him about the missions, the Institute's mission and learning a lot about some of the challenges facing mountains today. And one of the things that I know about mountains is that whether you're a city person like myself and grown up in a lot of cities, we're all kind of connected to the mountains. And some of my best memories would be traveling to southwestern Virginia to visit my grandparents near the Virginia-West Virginia border. And even if we don't think about some of those connections, mountains provide a lot of source of our fresh water, but the mountains themselves are facing a lot of stresses. And I know Tanya and I were in the Canadian Rockies over a year ago.
In
and
Alaska
we saw
just a few months ago.
Exactly. And we saw, particularly as we traveled through the Canadian Rockies, some of the real harsh impacts that are taking place with mountains in terms of some of the beetles that have been attacking the trees and so forth. Talk to us about some of the threats that we've been experiencing worldwide with our mountain environments.
Sure. Well, you know, of course, out where I am, mountaintop removal is one of the mm-hmm. issues that we face, and it's a very complex issue. It has certainly a major economic component to it as well. But, you know, taking the tops off mountains is something that is a real threat to mountains and a real concern for all of us who love mountains and work in them and are concerned for their conservation. But, you know, I think really as we look globally, and, you know, we are a global organization, we work, actually, here's a little test for the two of you. We work in the highest, oldest, and longest mountains in the world. So, yeah, do you know which ones those are?
Oh, shame on you, Bob Davis.
I'm going to say the Andes Mountains. It's just a guess.
I'd say the Appalachians.
Appalachians are the oldest, that's right, and the highest.
The highest,
Let's see, that would be Mount Everest, and that's the Himalayas.
Right? Himalayas, okay.
You know, the thing really, as we look across all those areas and really mountains around the world, the thing that concerns us the most right now is the impact of climate mm-hmm. change and global warming. And, you know, it's interesting for most of us, we think, you know, we get up in the morning and think about mountains. If we do, we think about places where we're going to go for a vacation, for recreation, for skiing or hiking. But, you know, as soon as we walk into the bathroom and turn the shower on, in fact, we're connected to mountains right there because most of the world's fresh water comes from mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting for me. My office is here in Washington, D.C., but my home is in West Virginia. When I get up and drive into Washington, about a mile from my home in West Virginia, I cross a little creek, and it's called the South Branch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I drive about another 4 miles into Washington, depending on what the traffic's like. And just before I get into Washington, I cross that little creek again.
Mm-hmm.
Although when I cross it here, it's not a little creek anymore. It's about a quarter of a mile wide, and it's called the Potomac River.
Yeah.
And so that's the, you know, that's the connection that almost every major population center in this country and around the world has with
sure.
mountains. If nothing else, our fresh water is coming from mountains, and mm-hmm. climate change puts that at risk in many places.
Yeah.
And so that's the real game changer. That's the environmental concern that we have, and we're seeing that happen globally.
Well, you know, we have just a couple of minutes left, and I did want to we may not have time to talk about some of the things that our listeners should do in consideration of the mountains when they're traveling, but I would like to at least refer our listeners to your website at mountain.org.
That's right.
For some suggestions, but I do want to spend the last few minutes we have talking about the upcoming Mountain Heroes event that will be taking place in just a couple of weeks here on October 22nd. Tell
right
us about
here in Washington, D.C.
And we'll be there. Tell us about that event and who this year's awardees are.
Well, the awardees this year, and in fact, it really goes right back to the climate change discussion we were having. The one awardee is Lonnie Thompson, of course. He's probably made most famous through An Inconvenient Truth. He's the guy mm-hmm. that's standing next to that little pinnacle that Al Gore is showing, which is the last part of the glacier on Kilimanjaro. And Lonnie Thompson is really a world-renowned, he's called a paleoglaciologist, which really means he studies glaciers and really can tell us a lot about the history of the world through what he's finding through his research on glaciers. And, you know, what Lonnie is telling us now is if things don't change in terms of climate in the next 30 years, almost all the world's glaciers will be gone. So Lonnie's done very important work. And he's one of our heroes, mountain heroes this year. And then the other is Jamie Ross and Ross Spears, who put together a wonderful PBS documentary called Appalachia, History of Mountain and People. And so we'll have all three of them this year at our awards. And more information on that is at our website at mountain.org. So if people are interested, this is open to the public. It really is one of the ways that you can support work in mountain areas is through events like this. And so we're happy to see the two of you next week and anybody else who'd like to come.
Oh, well, we're happy to join you, Bob, and certainly happy to support the work that the Mountain Institute is doing. And, you know, as our listeners know, this is one of our values. The environment is one of our strongest values with our show. And so we are always happy, my dear, to have you on our show.
Well,
and
you guys are great. It's great to hear you. I love your show. You just have it pegged absolutely right in terms of the sort of work that we're doing. So thank you both so much. And I really
thank you, Bob.
Look forward to seeing you on Thursday.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
Right, take care.
You're listening to the Traveling On Radio Show and with Tanya and Fitzpatrick, and we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to learn a little bit more, a lot more perhaps, about on-demand aircraft. And certainly if you are thinking about taking an aerial tour, a helicopter tour over New York or Hawaii or wherever, you should really tune in and listen to this next segment. We'll see you on the other side of this break.
Officials are concerned about a new influenza virus of swine origin that's spreading from person to person. Officials are acting to combat this threat, but the outbreak could grow. Prepare now. Check with local leaders, schools, employers, and other community groups about their plans regarding an outbreak in your community. It's important for everyone to know what to do about swine flu. For details, visit www.cdc.gov/swineflu or call 1-800-CDC-INFO. A message from HHS.
Where can you book all of your travel needs at the best price? Purchase the latest travel gear and get the most current and comprehensive travel news and information? TravelinOn.com. That's TravelIn-On.com. Whether you're a seasoned traveler, novice, or whether you're planning a long trip or looking for a weekend getaway, TravelinOn.com has the tools to complete your travel plans. Go to TravelinOn.com. That's TravelIn-On.com. The traveler's best resource.
Would it be crazy if you packed your bags and left for a week, a month, a year? What if you left for 2 years? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself? Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.